From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The commercial season for Dungeness crab in the North Peninsula District is reopening May 1st, and the outlook is good. The harvests in the Aleutian Island fishery have been large in recent years. Ethan Nichols is a shellfish biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Dutch Harbor. He says harvests have been increasing since 2020, so participation in the fishery has too.
In 2022, 16 vessels harvested 2.8 million pounds of Dungeness out of the North Peninsula District, which that year made the North Peninsula the largest Dungeness harvest in the state of Alaska.
Last year, harvest numbers fell from that all-time record, but the total catch was still large. Just 11 permit holders delivered a total of 1.6 million pounds in dungies. Nichols says pricing might have deterred some fishermen from participating. It averaged $1.80 to $2 per pound.
The price was not very good last year, so I think that drove a lot of vessels to not end up fishing the Dungeness fishery and maybe focus on salmon fisheries instead.
This year, 15 vessels registered before the April 1st deadline. The individual pot limit is 500 per vessel. Nichols says there could be ample opportunity for harvesting this year. Last year, the Dungeness crab population didn't appear to decrease as the season progressed. The Dungeness crab fishery in the North Peninsula District stretches north of Cape Sarachef in the Aleutian Islands. The opening runs May 1st to October 18th. Thank you to Andy Lusk and Sophia Stewart Rossi of KUCB for that story.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Trident Seafoods has officially finalized the sale of its facilities in Petersburg to E.C. Phillips & Sons, Incorporated. Both companies announced in mid-March that they had entered into negotiations for Trident's processing plant, bunkhouse, galley, and two housing units in Petersburg, but they didn't cinch the deal until April 3rd. According to an updated press release, Trident CEO Joe Bundrant said the company sought buyers who would, quote, share Trident's values, take great care of our fleet and employees, and integrate themselves into the community, end quote. Bundrant said E.C. Phillips & Son met those criteria, making the company, quote, a great fit for Petersburg. Trident announced in December that it was selling four of its Alaska-based plants in the wake of turbulence in the Alaska seafood market. The details about how the sale might affect the upcoming fishing season are unknown, but Trident's press release said Petersburg's fleet might enjoy a longer season under the new banner. That's because E.C. Phillips & Son has year-round seafood processing operations. E.C. Phillips & Son operates out of Ketchikan and Craig and was established almost a century ago in 1926. Thanks to KFSK's Shelby Herbert for that reporting.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907 747-3287.
Silver Bay Seafoods is poised to take over Peter Pan Seafoods processing operations this year, according to a joint press release. Silver Bay will acquire Peter Pan's Valdez facility, as well as operate Peter Pan's facilities in Dillingham and Port Moeller during the 2024 salmon season. As reported by KUCB, the move is part of a larger restructuring for Silver Bay to take over all of Peter Pan's processing and support facilities later this year, including the Peter Pan plant in King Cove. Two of the largest salmon processors in the state, Peter Pan and Silver Bay, each have facilities next to each other in Valdez. They previously discussed partnering with one another, including talks of forming a joint venture. Ultimately, however, Peter Pan decided to sell the cannery and its assets to Seattle-based Silver Bay. Silver Bay CEO Cora Campbell said in a press release, "The Alaska seafood industry needs to improve efficiency in order to, quote, remain competitive in a global marketplace and continue to support viable coastal communities," end quote. Roiling global markets and floods of foreign fish have thrown Alaska's seafood industry into turmoil. Peter Pan's troubles have been particularly bad. The company's plant in King Cove remained closed this winter, and some fishermen have filed liens against the company for money owed from last season's catch. And thanks to Theo Greenlee of KUCB for that report.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Troll fishermen in southern southeast Alaska have a new buyer for their king salmon. The Metlakatla Indian community announced on April 4th they had reopened the Annette Island Packing Company. The Metlakatla Company operated for nearly a century until they stopped buying fish in 2018. Now the 100% native-owned and operated plant is opening its doors again, though slowly. Metlakatla Mayor Albert Smith says it's a big win for the community. Local fishermen will now be able to sell their catch in town instead of bringing it all the way to Ketchikan.
It's something that we've been wanting to do for the last few years, and we're very excited to get the doors back open. We're starting off slow with troll caught king salmon and our local halibut fishery. So we'll be sending out fresh product. But it's a good start, and it's a safe reopening.
The Annette Island Packing Company is reopening on the Annette Islands Reserve, the only native reservation in the state of Alaska. Smith says that for the Metlakatla Indian community, the processor will create jobs and help with workforce development for community members, as well as job security for the troll fleet during a time of deep turmoil in the seafood market. And Smith says that starting out small is key to buying fish at a time when it seems like processors across the state are shuttering operations.
Well, it's just all about marketing, and we're looking to get stuff out fresh at a little bit of a smaller scale to start with.
Ketchikan-based troll fisherman Cody Cohen says it's also a big win for his gear group across the region. Having another buyer for his troll catch creates healthy competition in a market that he says, quote, has shifted towards quantity and away from quality, unquote. Members of the Metlakatla Indian community are able to catch Chinook salmon in the waters around Annette Island year-round with some regulations. For the rest of the troll fleet around Ketchikan, limited openings for king salmon will begin in June. Thanks to KRBD's Jack Darrell for that report. An organization that supports Alaskan small boat fishermen will be getting more than $500,000 to help them deal with the challenges of climate change and to decrease the fishing industry's carbon footprint. The money is an appropriations award from U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski. The funding is going to Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, or ALFA. But the group isn't just made up of longliners. Members include all kinds of commercial fishermen. Linda Benkin is executive director of ALFA. She says that instead of using the money to upgrade processing plants and boats, they plan to use the money to identify ways they can support the fishing industry. That includes creating a training program to help processors and fishermen understand how to make changes themselves. That might mean seafood processing plants add solar panels to their roofs, or fishermen convert their engines to hybrid diesel electric. And she says part of the money will be spent coordinating with other maritime industries. She says that when the fishing industry moves away from fuel, it needs to align with other maritime infrastructure to move towards the same solutions.
To make sure that the next generation fuels that we identify work for them, but also work for our small boat commercial fishermen who operate out of remote ports. You know, there's that economy of scale and the accessibility of being able to refuel in a lot of different places since our fleet is so mobile and at times nomadic. And so it's really important to have that coordination between sectors.
She says much of the work will happen in a few specific Southeast communities, which will serve as test cases. Those projects will be documented and analyzed so any successes can be duplicated across the state.
We'll definitely be documenting what we're doing and drawing up plans that we can share with people of if we move to this technology or implemented this decarbonization initiative, what was the savings, what was the cost, what worked well. We look to document that well for the lessons learned and to share that broadly.
And she says that while she knows the $500,000 will go quickly, part of the award will be used to pay for someone to look for more sources of funding for the project. That person will also work toward changing policy on the state and national level. Benkin says that's important because a lot of climate action and policy is made without fishermen input.
I just think fishermen need to have a seat at the table. They're great problem solvers. They're, you know, big picture thinkers. And this is a way for us to be leading in that realm and really have that control over our own destiny, I guess.
Last year, the organization received $700,000 from the Department of Energy's Vehicle Technology Office to convert two commercial fishing boats to hybrid diesel electric engines and one mariculture boat to a full electric motor. That project is ongoing with at least one boat conversion planned for this fall. KFSK's Hannah Floor put together that report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.